Genesis chapter 30, when we started a new series last week called When God Butts In. We are looking at those moments in the scripture where we have but God. The word but, as we saw last week, is a conjunction. And it has a contrary opinion. So whatever happens to the left of but is different to what happens to the right of but. And those two words, but God, changes everything. And what I want to look at tonight, last week we looked at the fact that I was dead, but God. We saw that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and then it says in verse 7, but God, who is rich in mercy, but God saw fit to send his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross of Calvary. So even though we were dead in trespasses and sins, he commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So last week we saw that I was dead, but God. This week I want us to look at I was deceived, but God. Genesis chapter 31 and verse 7. So we'll start at the beginning of chapter 31. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God, but God, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight. Father, I'm sure each and every one of us has at some point failed to trust you as we should in our Christian lives. I'm sure each and every one of us at some point in our walk with you has failed to obey you as we should. I'm sure each and every one of us hasn't had the testimony that has been pleasing to you for our whole Christian lives. And Father, sometimes we are a fickle people. Sometimes we fail you immensely. But I'm so thankful that you never fail us. I'm thankful for the but God moments in our lives. There was a point in Andrew's testimony, he said he was on the wrong path, but God saw fit to bring him back, as it were, and restore the years that the locusts had eaten. There are moments in our lives where God literally butts in. And Father, I prayed you'd help us to recognize those moments. I prayed you'd help us to realize how important those moments are. Those moments are pivotal in our walk with thee. And Father, I pray as we look at Jacob's life, as we look at the deception and treachery of Laban towards Jacob, I pray that we would recognize that but God moment, and that you did work everything out for your good and for your honor and for your glory. So Father, I just pray now tonight that you would speak to our hearts. You know the need of each and every person here tonight. You know exactly what it is they are facing. To the left of that but God moment. Help us to realize the blessings that await us to the right of that but God moment. So Father, would you speak to our hearts this evening? Would you help us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. There are many things that we dislike in life. And I'm sure it's safe to say that each and every one of us dislikes being duped. How many of you have ever been taken advantage of? How many of you have ever maybe poured your heart into somebody? Maybe you've provided somebody with your time, with your money, with your possessions, whatever it may be, only for that person to turn around and to do a dirty on you, as it were. Maybe it's been a friend that you've helped. Maybe it's been a colleague that you've poured yourself into. And when the tables were turned and when you needed something from them, they were nowhere to be found. You know the amount of stories I've heard of people who've had their life savings stolen from them because they've been duped, because they've been taken advantage of, because they've fallen for these con men. You know, this pandemic has produced a lot of interesting characters, and I'm amazed at how many con men seize upon that moment, whether it's to offer fake tests, whether it's to offer fake vaccines, whether it's to offer, then they just take advantage of people who are vulnerable. I remember I used to watch a program called The Real Hustle, and they would show you how easily people are deceived. It's like inbred into us that we always kind of have a respect for somebody in uniform, that we automatically kind of recognize their authority. And just because somebody's in uniform, if somebody knocked on the door dressed up as a gas man, people are quite open to allow them to come into the home, allow them to check their meter. And during those times, they've been taken advantage of. And sometimes people have gained entry into homes dressed up as people of authority just to rob that home. And there are many times in our lives, maybe, that we've been taken advantage of. I heard of a pastor who was asked to write a character reference for somebody who was going to court for a minor offence. So the pastor wrote a character reference. Years later, that pastor found out that the offence the person was going to court for wasn't as minor as they made out. And the pastor said, had he known what the offence was, he never would have written that character reference. The Bible has quite a lot of examples of people who have been taken advantage of. There's a lot of examples of people who have taken advantage of somebody else. But what we need to realize is that sometimes we see in the scripture to the left of the "but God" moments are the worst kind of atrocities, are the willful disobedience, rebellion towards God. But then on the right-hand side of the "but God" moments, you can experience that restoration and that hope and that light and that life. Every single person in this world needs a "but God" moment in their life. For those who are lost, they need that "but God" moment. "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." They need that "but God" moment. Everything to the left of that "but God" is hopeless, is worthless, is doomed to failure, is not there, is never going to last. But everything to the right of that "but God" moment is light and hope and salvation and eternity. But for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we face many "but God" moments in our lives. We recognize the fact that people need to hear the gospel message today more than ever. This world is in a mess. What the world needs is a "but God" moment. What the world needs is for people to come to know Christ as their Savior. You know, and I've shared this with the church before, but there was a guy in work with us, Paul Morgan from Oakdale. He was as rough as they can. And he just spoke his mind clearly. And he said that in his previous job, they had an expression: if you can't change the man, change the man. And he didn't suffer fools gladly. If people weren't pulling their weight on the shop floor, he'd tell him. I mean, he played prop for Oakdale. And I would really not want to get on the wrong side of it. But that saying was so profound. If you can't change the man, change the man. Now, what he was saying was, in the place he worked before, if you couldn't get the man to pull his socks up and to work, if you can't change the man, get him out the door and change the man. But what the world needs today, the world needs men to be changed. Not changed by philosophy, not changed by education, not changed by a political agenda. Men need to be changed by the word of God. Men need to be changed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men need to be changed because they need to be saved. When somebody comes to know Christ as their Savior, guess what? If we could get society to be saved, society would change. Oh, what's the answer to the world's ills? What's the answer to the world's woes? The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. Because if people came to know Christ as their Savior, then people wouldn't be behaving like they are. People wouldn't act like they are, and the world would be different. The world needs a "but God" moment. So what happened? What happened between Laban and Jacob that caused this "but God" moment in Jacob's life? You could say that, yeah, Jacob was taken advantage of. But as we said this morning, you reap what you sow. Jacob was no novice when it came to taking advantage of people. I mean, that's basically what his name means. The supplanter, the heel grabber. Jacob, on more than one occasion, took advantage of the situations for his own benefit. We see that in Esau's case. Jacob took advantage of Esau's weakness. When Esau was hungry, and Jacob took that pottage, and Esau was desperate for food, Jacob saw an opportunity. And he took advantage of his brother's weakness and said, yeah, you can have some food. Sell me your birthright first. Now, Jacob didn't need to do that because Jacob was already going to be blessed by God, but last by the by. He took advantage of his brother. He took advantage of his father. Esau's weakness was hunger. Isaac's weakness was old age and blindness. Jacob took advantage of Isaac's old age when he disguises himself as his brother with the help of his mum so that he could get the blessing from his father. As a result of that, because of Esau's rage then at Jacob duping him twice, Esau wanted revenge. So Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mum says to Jacob, you got to go. You got to flee. You get to Padan and you get to my father's house, go and visit my brother Laban and just stay there for a bit, lay low. And that's what Jacob does. He heads to Padan Aram. And it was on that road that God appeared to him. And in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15, this is what God said to Jacob. And this is during his dream. Remember the dream he had at Bethel, and where he saw the ladder going up to heaven. And in verse 15, this is what God said. He said, and behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God reminded Jacob, I'm with you. God reminded Jacob that he would fulfill his promises. You know, oftentimes when we are in that moment to the left of the but God moments in our lives, we forget the promises of God. We forget the fact that God has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. We forget the fact that God has promised to fulfill his will in our lives. We forget the fact that God is always going to work things out in our lives for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. From Genesis to Revelation, we see God keeping his promise. It's impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. It's impossible. So if God has made a promise to us, then guess what? That promise will be fulfilled. That promise will be kept. As Jacob is embarking on this new chapter in his life, God reminds him that he keeps his promises, that he will be with him, that he will protect him, that he will keep his word. So Jacob begins his journey, and in Genesis chapter 29, Jacob meets Rachel. Finds out that their family, then goes to Laban's house and they spend the evening catching up on what's happening. Remember now, it's been quite some time since Laban has seen his sister Rebecca, so he's catching up on all the news. It's incredible how, you know, somebody just as an association, just because Jacob had an association in that regards to Rebecca, Laban was like, oh yes, you were here, so it's like my sister's here. Now how weird is this? Skylar's about to come over now in a couple of weeks to see Chloe, and Skylar is one of Daniel's best friends, and I just said to Chloe, you've got to ask Skylar to kutch Hannah for me, and then I'm going to kutch the daylights out of Skylar when he comes, because it's like, well, you would have been like one of the last people to kutch Hannah, so is that association? I never understood. You know, Shane and Cammie Jackson were missionaries a couple of years ago, working with us up in Annecy. And we went across then to America. And of course, Cammie Jackson is Mark and Faith's daughter. So we went across to a conference, and The first time we met Faith Sawyer, we thought, this woman is nuts. She's bonkers. Because she would not let Joe go. She was just clutching her and she was holding on to him. We were like, stranger danger, stranger danger. But Faith said, you were the last person to hug my kids. And I didn't get it at the time until you were kids of thousands of miles away. And you understand this. You can imagine that family reunion, as it were, that Laban is all over Jacob because, you know, that's his nephew. And you know, he was the last person, as it were, to have contact with his sister. And he was like, oh, this is just like my sister being here. So you can imagine the family get together. You can imagine them catching up that night there as Rachel takes Jacob to Laban's house. In fact, the conversation goes so well that Laban just asks Jacob to stay. And Jacob has become smitten with Rachel, and he said, I will stay. In fact, I'll work for 7 years for you if my wage can just simply be your daughter's hand in marriage. And that's what Jacob does. Jacob served 7 years, and those 7 years absolutely fly by. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 20, it says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days because of the love that he had for Rachel. They flew by. And we see Laban's treachery, because in verse 21, Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered everybody together, they made a feast, and when it came to time for the consummation of the marriage, he gave Jacob Leah's daughter instead of Rachel. He said, well, Leah's the firstborn. The custom is for the firstborn to be given in marriage first. But why didn't Laban tell Jacob that 7 years ago? Why didn't Laban say, well, look, that's all very well and good you wanting to work 7 years for Rachel, but, you know, unless Leah gets taken first, then you're going to have the older one. So we see Laban's treachery. Laban goes back on his word and gives Jacob Leah instead of Rachel. So as a result, Jacob works another 7 years for Rachel. But he continues to prosper. In all that he did, in all that he touched, the Lord blessed him and he prospered. And as a result of Jacob prospering, Laban's household prospered because God was blessing Jacob. So Jacob works another 7 years for Rachel. And then he says in Genesis 30 and verse 27, Jacob asks about going home. And in verse 27 of Genesis 30, Laban said to him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now, Laban didn't say, oh, Jacob, don't go away. You know, you've had a family by now. You've got all of these children at this point now. Even Joseph was born by this point. You know, don't go. Don't take my daughters away. Don't take my grandchildren away. And you stay. Laban said, don't go because God's blessing you. And as a result, it's blessing me. I don't want you to go. I want to continue being blessed. Because if you go, the blessing goes. Laban wanted Jacob to stay for selfish reasons. He recognized that God was blessing everything that Jacob touched. And as a result of God blessing everything Jacob touched, Laban's household was being blessed. I wonder, are we a blessing in other people's lives? As a result of us being in people's lives, are we a blessing? Could people turn around and say, oh, do you know, I'm so blessed that so-and-so is in my life. I'm so blessed that I know them because of the blessings of God that are upon them. Do you know people in your life that are a blessing? Just by being around them. Just by being in their presence, they like lift the mood of the room. You know, you have some people like that. You have some people who've got the gift of encouragement. You've got some people who've got the gift of discouragement. Some people can walk in the room and just lighten it up completely. Just completely change the atmosphere of the room. Da-da! It's like, you know, they walk around with a disco ball around them because it's just lights. And then some people walk into the room and suck the every ounce of life out of that room completely. Oh, I'm glad you came. I was feeling a little down myself. Are we a blessing in other people's lives? Laban wanted Jacob to stay. But now something's changed. In verse 2 of chapter 31, Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and it was not toward him as before. Here's the thing. Laban no longer enjoyed the blessings that God was pouring upon him because of Jacob. Now Laban was envious of the blessings that Jacob received. You know, it reminds me of the relationship between Saul and David. David was great when Saul was benefiting, but when the focus moved to David, oh, Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000. Well, hang on a minute now. You were a benefit to me when you took out Goliath. You were a benefit to me when you were playing your music. You were a benefit to me when it suited me. But now the focus is on you. I don't like that. We'll just launch some javelins at you. Now Laban is envious of Jacob. His countenance has changed towards him. Laban was no longer enjoying the blessings that came as a result of having Jacob around. Laban is just envious of Jacob's blessings. In verse 5 of Genesis 31, when Jacob had gathered his wives together, he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me. Jacob tells his wives that things have changed. Dad's not happy with him anymore. It's time to move on. He says in verse 7, your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Jacob tells him Dad has not only changed his attitude towards him, he's changed his wages 10 times. Jacob has served Laban faithfully 14 years for his daughters, but then it says his wages have been changed 10 times. How would you feel? And listen to me now, those wages have not been changed 10 times for the good. How would you feel if every year you had a reduction in pay? You know, I remember when working in G, when they didn't give you a pay rise every year, and you were like, oh, really? You know, the prices of stuff are going up, and then you would stay on the same pay, and what's going on? I mean, that's frustrating in itself, when there's no pay rise each year. What if that pay was reduced every year for 10 years? Jacob said, your father's deceived me. 10 times he's changed my wage. Every time his wages were changed, it was always to help Laban and to hurt Jacob. But God. Your father's changed my wages 10 times. Your father has tried to hurt me. Your father has tried to deceive me. Your father has tried to destroy me, but God. Everything to the left of that has been done to hurt Jacob, but God. But God suffered him not to hurt me. But God would not allow him to hurt me. But God would not allow that situation to affect my life in a negative way. The things that Laban was doing was against me. The things that Laban was doing was meant to hurt me. But God didn't allow that to take place. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That which the enemy means to use for destruction, God can turn it around and use it for good. The enemy wants to destroy us, but God can mean it for good. The enemy wants to deceive us, but God can turn it around for good. The enemy wants to make us depressed and downhearted and despondent, but God can turn it around so that it can be used for the glory of God in our lives. But God! As a child of God, we have to recognize the but God moments in our lives. Jacob said, your father has deceived me. Your father has changed my wage 10 times. But God has not allowed that situation to hurt me. But God is the difference between victory and defeat. But God is the difference in advancing for the Lord Jesus Christ and retreating. But God is the difference in our faith and doubt. But God is the difference between joy and sadness. We need to recognize those but God moments in our lives. You see, our problem is, if you put ourselves in Jacob's position, our focus would probably be on the action of Laban rather than our reaction to the action of Laban. And that's far more important. What's more important is our reaction to the action towards us. What is worse than a bad action is a bad reaction to the bad action. You know, when something bad happens to us, God can use it for good. Now, that doesn't mean that we understand it. That doesn't mean that we rejoice in it at the time. That doesn't mean, that we can be skipping around everywhere. But God can use even the bad situations in our lives to bring Him glory. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Jacob knew that he had favor with God. Why? Because God told him. God told him way before he even got to this point in his life, "Jacob, I'll be with you. Jacob, I'll take care of you. Jacob, my word will be fulfilled in you. Jacob, I'm not going to leave you." That helped Jacob in this moment of his life. Because Jacob could have taken matters into his own hands. Jacob could have, taken his frustration out on Laban. Jacob could have reacted to Laban's treachery. But he trusted God. He recognized that right now this is a but God moment in his life. "Laban's dealt deceitfully with me, but God. Laban's deceived me, but God. Laban has been treacherous towards me, but God." You know, we recognize that God is with us always. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost," Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." Yeah, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. We have God's presence with us all the time. That helps us to recognize those but God moments in our lives. Jacob knew that he had God's favor. Jacob knew that he was in a covenant relationship with God. Jacob knew that he was able, and he was able to testify to his family when he got his wives together, when he got everybody together and said, "Right, this is the situation. This is what's happening. I've been taken advantage of. I've been deceived. My wages have been changed 10 times. But God has not allowed that to hurt me." Why? Because I've got God's favor. Because I'm in a covenant relationship with Him. Because I can testify of His goodness. And we know tough times will come in our lives. We know there'll be difficulties. Paul said to a young Timothy, "Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier." Tough times will come. Now, I don't know about you. I can't speak for everybody here. But in my life, I have been hurt far more by Christians than I ever have by non-Christians. People who call themselves a supposed brother or sister in the Lord have done us far more hurt than anybody who was out lost lost and dying and headed to a Christless hell. What a shameful testimony. And I wonder if people can say that about us. "Oh, that Darren Rogers over there, he's the one who did this to me. He's the one who did that to me." I don't want that to be our testimony. That ought not to be our testimony. We will face difficult times. We'll face difficult times from the world. We'll face difficult times as we battle our own flesh. And unfortunately, we face difficult times as we even battle those within. Those trials will come. But God. but God. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But God would not let Laban hurt Jacob. But God would not let that situation affect Jacob in that way. We're not to be weak and indifferent. We are not to be overcome by the cares of this life. We are to be overcomers in this life. We are not called to be victims. We are called to be victors. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We might not understand everything that's happening in our lives, but we need to be persuaded. That word means convinced. We need to have a confidence, to be convinced in the fact that God is able and willing. If we trust him. The key is committing our situation to God and not taking ownership of what others have done. And I know that's easier said than done, but oftentimes when somebody's done us wrong, we are focused upon them more than we should. You know, the amount of imaginary arguments I've had with people in my mind is unbelievable. And the argument has played out word for word in my mind. If they say this, then I'm going to say this. And then they'll just say that. So I've got this prepared. And then when they say that, I'll say this. And the amount of imaginary arguments I've had with people has kept me up night after night after night. And it's, they probably slept like a baby. They probably slept all night. 8-9 hours flat out. And there's me wide awake in bed having imaginary arguments with them. And they're blissfully unaware. When we focus upon the actions of others, when that becomes the be-all and end-all, then it has done us hurt. Because it's affected us. But God. But God doesn't want those situations to hurt us. He wants us to learn from those situations. He wants us to apply his word to our hearts and to our lives. He wants us to grow as a result. A muscle will only grow when a muscle is torn. And sometimes as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's when we are torn. It's when we are hurt. It's when we are feel as if we're downcast, as it were. That's when the spiritual muscle begins to repair itself and grow and become stronger. Why? Because we recognize the but God moment in our lives. Yes, Laban meant to hurt Jacob, but God was not going to allow it to hurt him. We can get so caught up in the why, the wherefore, and the how come that we miss the opportunity that God wants us to learn that spiritual lesson from the situation we found ourselves in. Jacob could have lost it. Jacob was the supplanter. He was the king of deception. I mean, he kind of did get some cattle out of it. Quite a lot of cattle, actually, out of the deal. If he'd taken matters into his own hands, what would have happened to God's plan? Let me ask you this question. What if Jacob had never been tricked into having Leah as his wife? Well, Leah's fourth-born son was a child by the name of Judah. So what if Jacob was never tricked into having Leah as his wife? Would Judah have ever been born? I know for a fact that Judah was part of God's divine plan because Matthew's genealogy tells us that Judah was a pretty important part in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. What if Jacob's wages hadn't been changed 10 times for the worse, but had been changed 10 times for the better? God didn't want Jacob in Paddan Aram. God wanted Jacob back in Canaan. And if his wages had been changed for the better, maybe Jacob would have stayed where he was comfortable. Yeah, I can see myself settling down here. I've made a good living. But God needed him back in Canaan. But God needed on the way back to Canaan to change his name to Israel. But God needed to change what was to the left of that but God to everything that was on the right of that but God. Yes, Laban changed my wages 10 times, but God didn't allow it to hurt me. Yes, Laban tricked me, but God used it for his purpose. Yes, Laban used me, but God had the final say. We can become so caught up in wanting revenge because of what's been done to us that we lose sight of any kind of spiritual lesson that the Lord is trying to teach us. We focus on the treachery and we focus upon the trickery and we miss out on the fact that God wants us to have a testimony. We miss the but God moments. No matter what happens to us, we need to remember, but God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But God knows my name. But God has promised to never leave me and never forsake me. But God promised to provide a way of escape for every temptation. But God is my refuge and strength and a very present help in times of trouble. But God said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. But God said he would supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. But God said he was the author and finisher of our faith. But God. We need to recognize those but God moments in our lives. We need to seize those but God moments in our lives. That's when God can move us from where we are to where we need to be. That's when God can move us from where we want to be to where he wants us to be. That's when God can move us from Padan Aram across to Canaan, as it were. We need to recognize those but God moments. Jacob placed his focus on God rather than his focus on the actions of Laban. It is not our circumstances that define us. It's our testimony. You look at Joseph. What if Joseph's circumstances define Joseph? You look at all that he went through as a young boy. Starts off with these dreams. Oh, dad, I've had this dream. I don't know if he talked like that as a 17-year-old, but I don't know. Oh, I've had this dream. Oh, and I saw these stars and the sun and the moon, they were bowing down to my side. Oh, I had this dream. I was in the field and these sheaves of corn were bowing down to my... Oh, what a dream. I'm going to be something one day. And one day, Dad says, do me a favor, go and check on your brothers for me. Oh, yeah, no problem, Dad. I put my coat on that kind of marks me out from the rest and I'll go and see where they are. Here comes the dream, man. Joseph never thought that his dream would take him to a pit. That his dream would take him to being sold into slavery. That his dream would take him down to Egypt. That his dream would take him to being falsely accused by part of his wife. That his dream would take him into a prison. That his dream would take him there and leave him there for years and years and years. But God... Joseph's circumstances didn't define him. His testimony did. But God brought that dream to pass. As the family came down to Egypt and Joseph is promoted to the second in command. And the family bows down before Joseph. Joseph's testimony is what defined him. Not his circumstances. But God. Things are tough today. But God can put a smile on our face. The world is dark today. But God can lighten our path. Things are difficult today. But God can put a song in my heart. Things are trying. But God can put a spring in our step. Things don't look good in the world today. But God gives us the victory. Can we just look out for those but God moments in our lives? Maybe something has happened to you that has hurt you deeply. Maybe you're struggling to get over it. I understand that, I get it, because we want revenge. we wouldn't be human if we didn't kind of, if part of us didn't think, lash out straight away. And we do. But God can change that situation and take you from being the victim to being the victor. But God can use that situation to help you grow spiritually. But God can use that situation to even bring glory unto himself. Even though we don't understand it. Even though it's painful to go through. But God knows what he's doing. Let's just trust and obey. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight and for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, I just pray for every single person who's ever been deceived by somebody that they love, who's ever been taken advantage of by somebody, who's ever been hurt deeply and feel that those scars are so deep that they could never, ever heal. Father, we ask for the intervention of a but God moment. But God would not allow that to define them. But God would not allow that scar to not heal. But God would even be able to get glory from something that has hurt so much. So Father, we ask that you would help us. Give us the strength that we need to simply trust you. Help us to be obedient to your word. And help us, especially in this day and age in which we live, to recognize those but God moments. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for all that you do for us. Would you just help those who are hurting today? And would you draw us ever closer to yourself? For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We stand as we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Amen. I wonder if Julian will close us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Julian.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful. We are grateful to you, Lord, for being able to gather in this way this evening, Lord, to gather around your word. And Lord, we have been challenged by your word. Lord, you have spoken to our hearts this night. Lord, surely we felt your spirit amongst us tonight, and that our hearts have been touched. And so, Lord, we just pray that as we leave this place, that we'll dwell on these words that we've heard this evening. Your word, Lord, speaking to our hearts. We just pray that we'll go from you, and that we'll consider these things, and that they will have a deep impact upon us, Lord. And that we might trust in you with all our hearts, lean not on our own understanding, but to trust in you. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with us as we leave this place. Bless us, Lord, in the week ahead, and as we go forth from here, that we might just show people round and about us, our friends, our neighbours, our family, our workmates, whoever we come across, that they might be able to see you in us. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon us as we leave this place. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.